Liebe Zuschauer, liebe Zuschauerinnen.
Dear viewers, dear listeners, welcome. We greet you today to a reading entitled Finding God. Where? How? The text for this program, which we will present together, comes from the pen of Gabriele, the prophetess and emissary of the Free Spirit. Gabriele takes up the questions of many people and begins her deliberation with the words, "In our loud and hectic time, more and more people are asking about God. Where is God? And how can he be reached? Or, is there a God at all? Or, if God exists, why doesn't he show himself? Or, I don't believe in God, because anyone who takes a closer look at this world reaches the conclusion that the existence of a God is merely a fable."
Nur eine Fabel ist.
Wieder ein anderer meint.
Still another one thinks. When someone asks, why does God allow such chaos in our world? Many a religion refers to the mysteries of God. And he reflects further. I've checked out many religions and thought that here and there I had found a little spark of the truth. With many a so-called shower of sparks, I thought I derived and dedicated myself to this religion. Soon doubts came up in me, and I asked myself, what should I do with this spark of truth, since I haven't become a new person through this spark of truth, even though that was promised to me? In my mistrustful skepticism, I thought, surely many a religion still has more sparks of the eternal truth. If we were to bring all these sparks of truth from the various religions together, would we then have found God? My disappointment grew, and I thought, I've searched and searched. I was in this and in that religion, and up until now, I've neither seen nor found God.
Der Gottsucher zieht daraus folgende Erkenntnis.
The God-seeker draws the following conclusion from this. I came to the conclusion that I am certainly not alone with my questions, where is God? Where can I find God? Why does he hide himself when I affirm the so-called truth that he is supposed to be? Despite everything, I don't want to give up searching, thinks the God-seeker, even though my doubts in God's existence become ever greater. Above all, when I think about the disguises of the external presiders with their religious garbs and deal further with the question, why does God want the disguise of his so-called intercessors and all the ado that's made about them? And when they, enveloped in their splendid robes, preach humility, when so many people go hungry and hardly have a roof over their heads or any money to clothe themselves according to the season, I begin again to doubt in God's existence, and the costly headgear perplexes me just as much as the modest caps that are supposed to cover the tonsure. Why all this? And not lastly, I wonder what is hiding behind all this. When you talk with many a God-proclaimer, then you come to the conclusion that they are farther from the truth than a believing God-seeker. The resume of the God-seeker is, every presider of his religion is of the opinion that his religion is the one that would save your soul and only his religion would proclaim the truth.
Liebe Mitmenschen,
dear fellow people, if you want to, think about the following. No one needs to take an external step to find God. Why? Because the Eternal Spirit, whom we in the Western world call God, is omnipresent, and thus also in the soul of each person. Gabriele writes, the omnipresent free spirit of infinity, God, is in the nature kingdoms, in every tree, in every little plant, in the grass, in the animal, in the stone. The eternal, all-prevailing spirit is in the mighty cosmos. We human beings don't need to go here and there to find God. We don't have to disguise ourselves to pray to God. Let's just remember the words of Jesus of Nazareth that essentially say, consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so, God is in us. God is around us. God is above us. He is under us. He is to the right and left of us. He is the free spirit, the life in all things.
We can search ever so much for God in religions, in spiritual groups and communities, and have institutional church aha experiences. But as time passes, all this turns insipid, because the person who has not found God in the very basis of his soul remains a seeker and, conceivably, a wanderer from one religion to another, from one spiritual group or community to another. To grow closer to God, the Eternal, He gave us the Ten Commandments through Moses, and through Jesus of Nazareth, the heavenly teachings of His Sermon on the Mount, whereby the Ten Commandments of God and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth are merely excerpts from the all-encompassing eternal law of God, from His love and freedom, which is the true life. However, if a person puts his external demeanor and behavior above God and contents himself, animated with the wish that faith alone ought to be enough, together with the customs and traditions of the respective religion, then he will never find God, not even when he thinks he has found sparks of truth here and there. Every external aha experience will pall at some point. The person keeps on searching for God and remains discontent until person and soul have found their way home to the root of life within them, and the soul rests in the ocean of life.
Particularly in the present time, many a person asks the question, why did God give us the Ten Commandments through Moses and Jesus of Nazareth, his Sermon on the Mount? Have we become smarter and drawn closer to God by knowing about the Ten Commandments of God and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth and his Sermon on the Mount? As stated, to find God, no external religion is needed, no external intercessor, and no binding community with intercessors. We alone should be the God-seekers and find God in the very basis of our soul, For, among other things, Jesus of Nazareth essentially taught us God in us and pointed out how we should pray. He said, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Anyone who believes in the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth will also inevitably believe in an immortal soul, in the very basis of which the free, eternal spirit of infinity, whom we in the Western world call God, dwells and is active.
We people have an odd habit. We blame others for the negative things that happen to us. We point out what others do or don't do, again and again. The other one is to blame. The other one acts wrongly, and so on and so forth. We need to change our way of thinking and come to understand that each person himself is responsible for his life on earth, for what he does, or for his spiritual negligence. We alone have to look for our fish hooks regarding this, that can be found in our feelings, sensations, and thoughts, as well as in our words and actions. Anyone who makes the effort to take a close look at himself will very gradually sense that he is a counterfeiter, so to speak, because what goes on behind his feelings, thoughts, words, and actions is usually not what he pretends, what he puts on before others. That is the counterfeiting. We, the so-called counterfeiters, are ultimately against ourselves and against the radiation of our soul. Also against our body, which, through our behavior that is far from God, develops problems and suffers because of this, and perhaps even becomes ill. We ourselves are the ones who inflict upon ourselves what we ultimately don't want. Not the other one is to blame for what happens to us. We are the guilty ones.
So our guilt is behind our behavior patterns, behind our feelings and thoughts, our words and actions. This is the counterfeiting. This is what we are. At some point, we will recognize our own falsity and humbly ask the omnipresent Spirit for help, to support and help us. We have to go toward God. We have to take the steps by conquering our falsity with His help. Anyone who compares his negativity with the Ten Commandments and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth will soon recognize that he has turned away from God. Hardship, suffering, and worry, all the way to illness, should cause us to think about ourselves, about what we have caused, and move us to not blame God for our ills. All these traits, including our discontentment, point out that we people are searching for God. Gabriela explains, whether we want to accept this or not, each one of us is more or less discontent, because the soul is seeking God. It is seeking the true homeland, the ocean of the true life, because the pure being in the very basis of the soul comes from the eternal being.
Dear fellow people, a person who frequently takes a pause and thinks about himself will feel the discontentment in himself and ultimately the search for the eternal goal. Even if we don't yet want to admit this, sooner or later we will realize that there is a deep inner ache in us, something indefinable, which is homesickness, the longing to be at home in the eternal, in the kingdom of God, in the eternal Fatherland. During our young years, there are many things we don't want to admit. We believe that if we were to or do experience this or that fascination, then we would be happy and content in the long run. In reality, it's all an illusion, because in the temporal, nothing is lasting. When we get older, then many a one looks in the mirror of discontentment and realizes that he sought and seeks something that he couldn't and can't explain, even though from a worldly point of view, he has no lack of prestige and prosperity.
Directly or indirectly, each person or each wandering soul is seeking the eternal goal, the eternal stream, the ocean of life. Ultimately, every one of us must admit to himself that he is merely a wayfarer on earth, who at some point will discard his earthly garment, the body. And then what? Even though many a one takes advantage of his fellow people and goes through the world with a money-hungry and dissipated life, at some point everyone faces the question, what has all this accomplished? What have I done to my soul? And what do I give it to take along when it leaves this world? Anyone who believes in a life after this life on earth must perforce ask himself, where will I, that is, my soul, be?
Every kind of discontentment is the knocking in the very basis of our soul. It knocks. It knocks on the person's level of feelings, on his conscience, because the soul has strayed from its path to the eternal Father's house. It keeps on knocking in the person's thoughts, words, and actions. The knocking from the very basis of the soul is a signal to turn back and change our ways and to enter the temple of the Holy of Holies in the very basis of our soul, in order to follow the instructions given in the Ten Commandments of God and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. Ultimately, the path to the very basis of our soul is the temple order. The person who does not question himself to figure out what lies in his level of feelings, in his thoughts and actions, in his whole behavior, is like a ship that drifts around in the ocean without navigation. At some point, it will capsize, and the ship's crew will not know where its ship has gone aground. Panic breaks out. One of the crew calls for help, another for God, still another for the Coast Guard. Each person thinks of his personal rescue, the one more, the other less, of the rescue of his physical body. Who is closer to being rescued? Those who call for the earthly existence, or those who take heart and ask about the true life and call on God? Every person can answer this question for himself in order to fathom what his concerns would be.
We hear about miracles again and again. For instance, that's a miracle. However, in our whole earthly existence, there is no such thing as a miracle, but solely a just help out of eternal love and care that comes from God. The eternal law of God is the law of love and care for the life. In the all-encompassing law of life, that is unity, there are neither incantations nor incense, neither castigation nor self-adulation, neither ceremonies nor priestly cult, neither lay prayers nor missionary pastoral care, neither ritual nor sacrificial cult, neither external religion nor relics, neither saints nor hypocrites, neither image worship nor self-worship. God's law applies to each person, also to the so-called shipwrecked one, no matter whether he is eventually rescued or even drowns.
Anyone who is of the opinion that he is a believer should know about the temple order that Jesus of Nazareth taught us, that each person himself is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and should remember this message daily when he prays or even wants to visit an external temple of the faith. He will soon experience that he becomes freer and more aware of God. The one who remembers the words of Jesus does not need the affected behavior of pastors and priests, but solely the sovereign teachings that say, God is the free spirit, the omnipresent spirit that lives in nature as well as in the animals, that animates the stone, the entire earth, and all cosmoses. Every person is more or less a stranded one. On a cosmic island that he calls Earth, he ekes out his existence. When the human earthly existence has run out, where then will his soul be? At the latest, when the person's last earthly hour strikes, he hopes, consciously or unconsciously, to be taken as a soul into the ocean of eternal love and to live eternally. That is simply the call of the soul, which bears, in its very basis, its eternal homeland.
Dear fellow people, if you can affirm the free spirit without rituals and whatever else is created around the word God, then you will take the steps to draw closer to the Ten Commandments of God and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, including his Sermon on the Mount. Who are we to proclaim such things? We are followers of Jesus of Nazareth, who taught the free spirit, God, and lived as an example for the people that man can be close to God without dogmas, regulations, and rites, without pastors and priests. We, followers of Jesus of Nazareth, do not form an external religion or community in the traditional sense, in which spokespersons put themselves at the head of the community and where community members become lemmings. The following of Jesus of Nazareth is based on the bond of people who understand one another because they adhere to the free spirit. Jesus of Nazareth essentially taught us, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
People frequently ask where such free communities can be found. In the worldwide work of the Spirit of God, in the International Center of the Free Spirit for All Cultures, there is an open community where every seriously seeking person can inform himself. We give the following advice to people who seek open, free communities. If you know people of like mind, then you could simply meet together now and then for prayer with each other and to share spiritual experiences, so as to learn from one another and grow and mature spiritually. As stated, we do not need any external religion and spiritual tradition and customs. We, every one of us, should think and live in the awareness, God in us, in the very basis of each soul. Followers of Jesus of Nazareth pray to within, just as they feel in their hearts, without memorized prayers.
Even though God, the Spirit of our Heavenly Father, knows about all things, many a person has a need to hold a dialogue with Him, God. That is prayer, the personal concerns, the heart prayer. The person who is praying prays into the very basis of his soul to God in him. The prayer to within and the step-by-step fulfillment of the Ten Commandments of God through Moses and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth help us to recognize our sinful aspects, to repent of them, clear them up, and no longer commit them. Spiritual growth and spiritual maturity develop from the free inner prayer, as well as a gain in life, freedom and harmony, and not lastly, the love for God and neighbor. This free inner path needs no priests and pastors, no so-called stone houses of worship. Each one of us bears the Holy of Holies, which is God, in the very basis of our soul.
From her experience, Gabriela writes, "Nature also helps us to attain independence from prayer litanists, pastors, and priests. When we care for nature with love and care, it can be a garden of God that vivifies our senses with the spirit of freedom. At every season, nature is the Creator's word, God's word. At every season, nature shows us how it flowers and matures and gives. Nature does not make a fuss about this, because it knows that the Creator power remains, because God is the life. Just as nature is embedded in the bosom of the mighty Creator Spirit, in life, so should we human beings also comport ourselves. The omnipresent Creator Word, the Word of the Eternal is, I am the I Am, the life eternally. If you like, immerse into the all stream of life, which is in us, around us, above us, and under us. It is the omnipresent life, God, the free spirit of our Heavenly Father, whose children we are.
Dear viewers, dear listeners, at the end of the manuscript for the program, Finding God, Where, How, Gabriele writes, "People in the following of Jesus of Nazareth wish their fellow people and themselves spiritual growth and spiritual maturity, and the growing awareness that when two or three are gathered in the name of the Spirit of God, the living free Spirit is in the midst of them, in the midst of us."
Mitten unter ihnen, mitten unter uns.
Brothers and sisters of the free Spirit greet you in this awareness. Dear fellow people, on this note, greetings in God and goodbye.